Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Love it because hands are genderless and hands can create pleasure in so many different ways for so many different kinds of bodies.
Because when fingering done right is excellent, and I love getting fingered when it's done right.
Hello, honey, and welcome to Honey Do Me Podcast. I'm Cass.
And I'm Emma, and we're just two gals looking for a good lay.
Aren't we all? But when it comes to sex, we're just as lost as you and have no idea what we're doing.
Luckily, we will stop at nothing to get the answers we need. Cue our expert guests.
We're ready to overshare and ask all the embarrassing questions so you don't have to.
By the end of every episode, you will be dripping in actionable steps and ready to take on the damn world.
Or at least take it from behind.
So tell us, honey,
how do you
do you? You have our introduction already?
Oh, I'm ready.
You're ready.
I've written it days ago.
Do you mean like you have an update for yourself?
No.
Oh.
I don't know. I lied. I don't have anything.
As we've just shown to ourselves, we're really good at lying.
Yeah, we were saying we could lie to you and pretend that
all these celebrities are coming on the podcast.
Yeah, to talk about
like
their
who's gonna
come
for us.
Who's gonna come at me, bro?
Who is? Catch these hands. On site. No one can say anything. We can say whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom of speech.
Oh, I thought you were going to make a weird sign with your hands.
No, just saying that we can say whatever we want.
Yeah. Technically.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back. Do you have any new updates? It's been a minute.
My neck lump is back.
Yeah. I don't think we've talked about your neck lumps on here.
Oh. Well, surprise, surprise. I'm sick in a number of ways.
Yeah.
I have a lump on my neck, but it's nothing to worry about yet. What are your updates?
Nothing really. I've been getting back to my gym routine, which feels great.
Love it. You little gym rat, you.
Gym rat. But I've been sore in my calves, but it's been only because of how... good the orgasms are from the satisfier. So I was laughing at that. I was like, oh my God, I'm sore. I was like, oh my God, I haven't done legs in a while though. And I'm like, oh, last night I figured out what triggers it and it's satisfier pro orgasms.
So that's incredible. It's not just a pleasure device. It's also fitness.
So it just works across my life and it really makes me a better person.
That's incredible for you.
So if that's not an ad for Satisfyer Pro.
I don't know what would be. Huh. Well, that's amazing. I know you've been talking to me about what's been motivating you at the gym.
Oh, stop. Yeah. I mean, I like to think of myself, actually, I've never thought of myself this way, as a competitive person, but I do need...
You're competitive.
I can be competitive, and I think to stay motivated when I don't want to be somewhere, mm-hmm. I have to be either beating someone or showing off for someone.
Beating somebody.
Yeah, I have to be beating them at something, mm-hmm. like being better or showing off. So yeah, I try to find cute people at the gym, and then I like pretend that people watch me.
You're the superstar.
Yeah, and then, you know, it makes you work out harder. I was at the gym for like over an hour. I just lost track of time.
That just never getting those fucking gains.
Never happens, but it's because a cute guy was there. So I was like, fuck yeah,
I'm in.
Look at my tries.
Look at my calves.
Look at my delts.
Even from the gym.
I have lats for days. Is this what sexy is? Because yes.
Turned on yet.
Are you
hunky
turned?
Hunk.
Hunky hunk. That's
look
what
at
you
my
say.
Bajunka junk.
Hunky hunk, look at my bajunka junk. Yeah.
Well.
And then you just bounce backwards at them until they look at your butt.
Exactly. You don't touch them because consent.
Because consent, but you just bounce at them.
Yeah.
So that's all that's new for me.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything.
That's fine because.
Shout out to our friends that got engaged. We yeah. won't say their names, but we love you and we're mm-hmm. really happy for you. That's kind of the biggest thing in our lives right now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's fun.
Fun update. So you're going to the gym. Fine. They got engaged and I have a neck lump. Today on the podcast, we are talking about fingering.
Yeah. How many topics can you name in 10 seconds?
A lot.
A lot.
Clearly.
Yes. Today we're talking about fingering.
Yeah, we have on Allison Moon. She is a sex educator and the author of Girl Sex 101, which is such a good book. Oh, my mm-hmm. God. That's how we found out about her, was through that book. So many good diagrams on fingering.
Good,
oh, my
good,
God.
Good. And you're going to kind of need them mm-hmm. for what we talk about today. Like, you, and we do a pretty good job describing, but if you want a visual, Girl Sex 101.
I'm going to do my best to get that YouTube video up ASAP.
Great. I really don't have anything else to say. You guys understand the name yeah. of the game. We get specific.
Do you like fingering?
Do you want to know how to finger better? Because you probably are bad at it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Probably. I think that there are very few people in the world who are good at it. But Allison Moon is apparently one of them.
Who are good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So learn from the pros.
Oh, yeah. I meant who's good.
Yeah.
There are very few people who are good. And she is one of the good ones.
Yes.
And she's just one of the good ones in general. So have fun with this episode. And
we'll see you on the other side.
I'm Allison Moon. I'm an author and sex educator. I've written 5 books, most recently Getting It, A Guide to Hot, Healthy Hookups and Shame-Free Sex. And I'm best known for Girl Sex 101, which is a illustrated guidebook to sex between women or with women, and vulvas and trans women and all the things that are associated with, you know, queer lesbian sex. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a playwright and I write dramatic stuff. I write novels and I teach a lot of workshops locally in Portland, but also all over the country around hand sex and cunnilingus and pleasure and communication and erotica, etc.
Oh, that sounds amazing. So fun. Oh my gosh. We were flipping through your book too, and it is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, we've been reading Girl Sex 101, so mm-hmm. it is so good.
Yes.
Highly recommend it. We'll make sure it's in the show notes too.
Yes.
So
thank you.
That is what inspired us to reach out to you because we really want to get into hand sex or fingering and just learn a little bit more about what that is and how to be good at it. Mm-hmm. Because I think we've both had some experiences that weren't so good.
like 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Some. We've had a lot of experiences that weren't so good. So yeah. Do you want to start us off by kind of defining what hand sex or fingering is?
Sure. It's pretty simple. It's just sex using your hands. I think when we look at the very heteronormative idea of what sex is, it always seems to be like penis entering vagina and everything else is not sex. And that's mm-hmm. just not true. There are so many different ways to have sex and share pleasure. And I think hand sex or fingering or manual sex, if you want to get fancy, is a wonderful way of doing that. And I love it because hands are genderless and hands can create pleasure in so many different ways for so many different kinds of bodies. And I think that it's an underrepresented and underutilized aspect of sexuality that I would like to see more people engaging with in a good way, in a positive mm-hmm. way, in a way that is better than the experiences that you two have.
Yes.
Yes. Because when fingering done right is excellent. And I love getting fingered when it's done right. So
if we could just teach it a little bit better so it's not so pinchy and jabby, then I think we all could have a better time. But you said hand sex can be genderless. So is fingering just for people with vaginas then?
Or... I mean, I would say, I mean, people often say fingering when they're talking about anuses as well. So I'd say that, you know, it's the hands that are the genderless part of it. Obviously, we can all have genders or not, depending on our own choices and feelings about our bodies. But I think that, you know, hand sex kind of is this great equalizer. You know, most of us have them, most of us can use them, and we can use them in a lot of different ways. And I think that's really special. And I think, you know, when I look at people's kind of sexual trajectories, oftentimes, you know, hand sex, fingering is explored a lot when you're first starting to explore sexuality.
Yes.
And then when, you know, penis vagina sex or penis anus sex comes on the table, oftentimes the fingering just kind of disappears. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of us, we're like, but no, I love that part. Why are you, why are we not doing that anymore? It's not a step to get to the real thing. It can be very much part of the real thing. I mean, hand sex is something I do with many of my partners. Sometimes it's the main form of penetrative sex with my partners. Mm-hmm. And I like it that way.
Yeah. Why do you feel like it stayed like a juvenile, you know, type of act? Because yeah, it's sex. So it's like, why wouldn't we carry it through everything even as we get older? But why does it still stay like this thing you do when you're younger, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's this very heteronormative idea of like centering the penis in sex acts, and it's about penis pleasure and everything else is just kind of extra or other. And I think that that's, I mean, what I'm trying to kind of refocus, that you can share extraordinary pleasure with partners, including penises, but not necessarily that they have to be the center of attention at all times. And I think that, you know, this is something I always like to teach, particularly straight cis men, is that, like, you know, hands are a fabulous way to extend the sexuality. Like, if you're afraid you're going to come too soon, like, pull out your cock and put your fingers in and keep going and keep the energy going. You don't have to, you know, worry about that, that you're going to come too soon, or maybe you're having a hard time like staying focused on the other person. Like, hands can be this wonderful way to asset all sorts of different sexual experiences. And I think that like, that it's, I mean, no matter what, like, it can be an addition, not just like, again, a step to get to the quote unquote real thing.
I'm really glad that you phrased it that way and talked about like straight cis men, because I think there's this idea that like, well, why would I do that when I can just use my penis? It's going to be so much better. And it's like,
it's not always
first of all, but also it's like a PSA, like, yes, it is worth getting good at, and it's worth like learning how to finger and how to like make this an enjoyable and like normal part of your sexual experiences.
Yeah, well, yeah. And oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, no, I'll add to that is that, like, a lot of the people that come to my workshops are straight cis men, and I have a lot of, like, love for men who are trying really hard to learn how to please their partners better. And I think one of the biggest anxieties that a lot of straight cis guys have is, you know, hydraulic issues, getting hard when they want to be hard, staying hard the entire time until both partners are ready for them to not be hard anymore. That's a lot of stress that adds to a lot of these guys' experiences of sex. And so when I'm like, put hands back on the table, it means like, you know, no matter how many whiskeys you've had, these aren't going soft, right? Like, and like, so you're going to be able to just add another tool to your toolbox around like managing all of the pleasure you want to help create for your partner. And also, again, like just the different kinds of sensations, just as much as I would say like, invite vibrators into the bedroom, because sometimes that can really like take your sex life to the next level. Hands are something that you can also just add to that roster of wonderful things you can use, because hands create very different sensations than a penis or a dildo. And I think that that's something that we should just kind of think about, like, what are the kinds of sensations I can generate? How can I touch you in a way that I can't with a cock or a dildo or whatever?
There's so much more control. And, you know, for people who like the G-spot-ish being stimulated, it's just an easier access to it, because then you know exactly where you're going, and it's shorter. It's a shorter distance right here, or whatever fingers you use, which leads me to my next question of starting, like someone starting out fingering and like maybe they're still really new to it. So can we talk about some like technical basics, like how do you finger? And where would you start? Would you start with just one, just two? And like, which fingers
all
should
ten.
You? All 10. Is that something we would do?
I would not more recommend of, starting with all 10.
I think if you do like prayer hands, you know, just straight in.
A dive.
If you don't Swan know where dive. To start, start with 10. And then work your way down. Just
I do
saying.
Not co-sign that statement. yeah, well, so I think that, yeah, I mean, what I like to encourage people to think about first, especially let's talk about vulvas just right mm-hmm. now, like stimulating a vulva with your hands, is thinking, quote unquote, outside the box, right? Before you even start thinking about penetration, think about the ways you can touch the vulva, right? Which is all the parts on the outside of the body. So the clitoris, the labia, both the inner labia and the outer labia. The opening of the vagina has so many nerve endings. The perineum, which is also called the taint. There's so much stuff down there. And there are so many parts that have a ton of nerve endings and really enjoy touch and different kinds of touch. So my first step is always suggesting, like, focus on the outside. There's a really great move that I talk about in Girl Sex 101 that I learned from Midori, who's a sex educator, called the pussy hug. And it's really just like taking your hand, just the full, you know, flat of your hand and hugging the vulva. And it's a really lovely technique to begin with because it helps your partner know that, you know, things are warming up. It helps your body get online. And it's pressure. And I think bodies respond very well to pressure, right? Like mm-hmm. pussies in general respond very well to pressure. Obviously, you want to take into account what your partner is talking to you about and what they're asking for. But I think generally, like sometimes when we're especially really new, we get so nervous about like breaking somebody's vulva, right? We're like, oh no, they're women are delicate flowers. Like, yeah, possibly. It's like, well, no, we push babies out sometimes.
Not mine.
Vaginas can handle a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But vaginas are potent, powerful things. Mm-hmm. So I think pressure is actually a really underutilized thing. It's also one of the reasons why we like to hump, right? Why we like to grind. It's that we're kind of getting all of that erectile tissue online. So it's a really good technique to start. And I often recommend just not penetrating at all until you ask permission and you get a yes from them. And that's a consent thing, but it's also a pleasure thing. I tell this story in my How to Drive a Vulva workshop all the time, because I think it's a really illustrative story. My ex-girlfriend and I are both cis women, but golly gee, our bodies are built completely differently. It's kind of shocking how we have all the same parts, but our pleasure moves up through us very differently. And for her, when I would be going down on her, touching her, if I was playing with her clit, if I timed the penetration perfectly, it would just shoot her through the roof through pleasure. Like it would get her to come. She would just have an amazing time just with like penetration added. For me, if I'm on the clit train, I do not want to transfer to the vagina train. Mm-hmm. It's a very different sensation for me. And so I can enjoy both, but not at the same time. Right? Mm-hmm. So like if you're eating me out or, you know, diddling my clit, like if you put a finger inside me, now I feel like I have had to get off the train, stand on the platform and wait for the vagina train to come. And then I can get on that train and go to where we're going. But it's frustrating actually. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really, it's why it's important to ask, because sometimes you just might not want it at that moment. Right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like, yes, I do like penetration, but not right now. I'm enjoying what you're doing too much. So let's table the penetration until later. So I think that's a really important thing to think about. So like, this is why I say like, penetrate with permission and like focus on the outside again, because often our clitorises get ignored. Mm-hmm. So if you can focus on, if your, you know, partner or you like clitoral play, like focusing on the clit can be actually a really lovely thing to do again with your mouth or with hands, with the toy. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the basic rules. If penetration is on the table, if your partner wants it, I have another kind of rule, pads, not poke. like you were saying, Emma, like
the
pokey is really obnoxious, right? Mm-hmm. And it can feel really uncomfortable, particularly if that your partner has, you know, rough cuticles or nails. Yeah. It can be a rather unpleasant experience. Mm-hmm. So I like to think of it. So if we're thinking about the pussy hug, I'm going to try and be descriptive for your listener, your audio listening.
Thank you.
If you think about the pussy hug and your hands are kind of flat against the vagina and the vulva, taking the kind of the part of your finger you use to press a doorbell, right? Like the pad of the thing, the part that the fingerprint is on, rather than the pokey part. Because again, the pokey part, there's a bone right there and it's really quite unpleasant, but the pad is a pad. It's designed to be a little softer. So if penetration is something that your partner wants, I recommend like dipping the pad gently inside the opening. And again, don't ignore the opening. The opening is really lovely. I've had partners who can get off just from you kind of wringing the outside of their vaginal opening with the flat of a lubricated finger. That can feel amazing. And one thing I like to do is also just kind of place the pad of my finger at the opening to their vagina and let them take me in, right? Like if your partner's real jazzed and really wants to get fucked, like putting your pad at your finger, like they're going to let you know that they want that finger inside. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's like, ready. And like, I always consider that a really great thing when that happens, right? Because now totally. It's like, great, like you want my finger in me, you're going to have to come get it, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really fun way to play.
That is, because then you're like teasing a little bit too, mm-hmm. and it becomes more of this, like, I want you to like tell me that you need me type of mm-hmm. a thing. So that almost, yeah, like what you were saying with like asking to be entered, that's like also a good like teasing game as well mm-hmm. as consent, obviously. But I really like the hug idea.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com. Code program.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we can focus a little bit more on the outside before we dive further into the inside.
That's my preferred technique. Yes.
Like what are some techniques or strokes for the clit or to involve the labia? Mm-hmm. Any of it.
Yeah,
all of it.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, from the pussy hug, and this is a lot of the stuff is actually in Girl 601. So if you're a person who needs visual aids, there are drawings to describe what I'm going for. So from the pussy hug, I recommend kind of a smoosh technique. So like hugging and then kind of smooshing all the lips and all the tissue kind of around in kind of a grindy motion. And again, that's the kind of thing that you do if you're like humping someone's thigh. You're basically grinding all of your bits on a firm object. So this is basically just the same thing, but you're the one doing the smooshing mm-hmm. with, that's a technical term, by the way.
And that is
with,
scientific.
With your hand. Yes,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Colloquial term for the smoosh.
Yeah, exactly. And this is actually a good time to talk about the internal clitoral structure, right? Mm-hmm. So have you described the internal clitoral structure to your listeners before, or shall I?
We have, but please, please do it again.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a visual aid, but I will describe it for the listener. So this is a not to scale size of the internal clitoral structure.
That's mine. That's the size of mine. It's fucking huge. It's literally the size of a hand. It's fucking huge. Awesome. Love it. Keep going. Yeah.
I have a smaller version. This is actually the anatomical size.
Oh, cute. Okay.
Again, hard to say, but this is like it's kind of a translucent pussy. Anyway, so what's interesting about this, so the clitoris is very much more than meets the eye. The clitoral head sticks out of the body, which we all kind of consider the clit, but then there's a lot of erectile tissue underneath, and there are these kind of wishbone shapes that are called the clitoral legs, and then there's these bulbs, which are the clitoral bulbs. And the clitoral bulbs are actually underneath, are deep inside the body, underneath the outer labial tissue, right? So that's why, one of the reasons why smushing and humping feels good is because you're actually stimulating the internal clitoral structure, not just the head of the clit. So anything that kind of creates pressure on the vulva can help get the entire clitoris excited and online, which is pretty cool. And I believe there's research to show that the clitoris can actually get erect in different stages. So unlike a penis where it's like you're kind of like, you can be different stages of hardness, but the chambers of erectile tissue generally come all erect together or not. So mm-hmm. that basically is why you don't have like a erection that kind of curves and then it goes straight, mm-hmm. right? With a clitoris, like actually the bulbs can get engorged and the legs can get engorged and the head can get engorged in different stages. Mm. So if you're only focused on the clitoral head, you might only be getting the clitoral head excited when there's all this other tissue that can feel pleasure. So that's I think that's a really important thing to think about, which is why, again, like, you know, touching the labia, inner and outer, can be absolutely lovely. Mm-hmm.
So what is the right way to touch it? Obviously, there's the pussy hug, but are there any other ways to touch the labia? All this in my head is just like...
like inchworming along them?
Yeah.
Well, also because I feel like people who, like, give pleasure to vulvas stay away from the inner labia. And I mean, because, like, maybe you don't know how to touch them, but I didn't even know that that was, like, necessarily super pleasurable until we started talking about masturbation with Susan and, like, how touching all of that can feel really good, and we should be paying more attention to it. So, yes, how so can we inch along those labia and without doing what you just did?
Squeezing between my fingers.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so anatomically speaking, the outer labia are akin to the scrotum. For people with penises, right?
Okay.
So just putting that in your head is really helpful. And this is something I like to talk about because it helps if you kind of have clocked a lot of time with one set of genitals, it kind of helps to map it out. Mm-hmm. But what I think is interesting is the inner labia actually, even though the outer labia are more akin to scrotal tissue, the inner labia actually feel a lot more like scrotal tissue. They're kind of slick, they're very stretchy, and they kind of, you can kind of twist them and they don't hurt, you can tug, you can pinch, and they generally don't hurt. So I think that's something that, again, for cis guys to know is really good. Like, because if you can, like, what you can do to your sac is kind of what you can do to inner labia. And so that can be kind of
fun. I can twist a sac.
Well, okay. All right. So let me just pause. Thank you for giving
Allison said this would feel good.
So you can twist the skin of the sac as long as the nuts and the tubes are not involved.
Okay.
Right? So it's actually just the tissue I'm talking about. The internal stuff you really want to leave alone for the most part. It's the external tissue that can stretch and you can twist. And again, hopefully the cis guys listening at home know exactly what I'm talking about. But thank you for letting me clarify. Please do not start non-consensual cock and ball torture. That is fine. Not what I'm talking about.
Fair enough. Glad we made that point clear. That is good to know about labia too. The twisting, I feel like those are good points to bring up because they do feel more delicate. So I feel like they get handled delicately if they touch them. But that's not always, we don't want just like a little pet sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. Get in there. Well, don't do that. Don't full on grab it.
Bear claw
it.
One of the other things that another move that I like to talk about is what I call the safety scissors. And this is, again, all because I had to come up with names for things because I wrote a book. This is not like some sort of text. this is not like canon. Yeah. So safety scissors and the inverted Vulcan. Okay, so these are two moves that are great for the outside. And they all, again, start from the pussy hug. If you think of pussy hug as like the first position in dance, these are all kind of variations on the theme. So the inverted Vulcan is... for the Trekkies in the room, you think about live long and prosper, and then you flip it upside down, and now you've got this Vulcan thing. So live long and prosper, upside down. And so this is my flashlight visual aid that I used to teach. Basically what it looks like. So if the pussy hug is this, right, then the inverted Vulcan is like this. So what you do with that is you're putting either of the fingers of the live long and prosper on the outer labia and pressing. And then it isolates the inner labia and the clitoris, right? Mm-hmm. And the clitoral head so that you can do other things to it or you can just kind of, you know, leave them in play. And then the safety scissors is basically the same thing, but just then you pinch together.
Okay.
And that can be a really fun move. I actually learned that from Nina Hartley, who is a porn star. This is a humble brag, but it's really just a brag. We were in bed together once, and
how do you?
And she was doing this to me. Yeah, I have a very charmed life. And she did this to me, where she basically put her hands like this, and then squeezed, and she isolated the shaft of my clitoris, that very small shaft that sticks out from the body, right, that attaches the head. She isolated it basically in the crux of her fingers. And by pinching gently, not, you know, but she held me and then she said, now do your Kegels, do your pelvic floor muscles exercises. And in doing so, it basically like jerked my clit off in between her fingers. And I thought that was such a cool technique. And it's just kind of because it allows you to control your own experience of how your clitoris is getting stimulated while your partner or you just hold the clitoris kind of stable. Mm-hmm. That was a really neat move. That feels like kind of like a pro move that I got from a professional. Yeah. So.
That's awesome. That's well, because so cool. It can start basic and then you can like level up.
Yeah,
because
you're like hug, open, squeeze, yeah. Kegel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
you have to move through these like they're square bands or anything. Like you can kind of play with these things. But I think it helps people get like start thinking creatively about how to kind of combine vulvas and hands in fun, pleasurable ways.
Yeah, and learning if you like that pressure and like that type of movement too on the outside can open up masturbation, can open up your pleasure with a partner. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. Pressure is awesome.
And just like a very specific technical question. So when you're doing the hug, well, no, you already answered that with the smooshing. So with the inverted Vulcan, is that what it is?
Yeah,
do you move with that as well? Or do you just stay there with pressure or is it up to you?
You certainly can. I mean, you can do either. I think, I mean, oftentimes, again, like the more excited that your partner is getting, the more they're going to move, right? Like you put pressure against them and they're like, yeah, right?
You don't even have
and
to.
And so I think, yeah. And again, like it can be kind of like, I mean, I also often encourage people to do, you know, what I call R&D nights, research and development, like where you get to kind of just map their pussy. You map what feels good to them. And of course, this can change at different points in one's life or different days of the week. Like it changes. But I think it's really lovely to kind of just to like investigate and pay attention and just kind of feel what it feels like and get to know what their face does when they're feeling pleasure, get to know what their voice does, like, because everybody's different. And I think it's, you know, it's good to just kind of start to build not only a map of a individual's pleasure, but your own understanding of how different people respond to touch, because that just makes you a more dexterous lover. And I think that's a really useful thing.
Mm-hmm. Jinx.
Whether you've been nutty or nice this year, the presents in your pants deserve to be pampered. And Manscaped is here to help you with that.
If you or a loved one has a tree that needs some trimming, Lawnmower 4.0 is a great pick. If you're looking to buzz down or just shape up, the multiple guard lengths give you a bushel of options.
A bushel. Get it? Because bush.
Get it? Because bush.
And for the hairs you are keeping, Manscaped has you covered with their 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. It smells really good. It comes in a really fancy metal bottle. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I always judge a book by its cover. And I'm not about to change that now.
Consistency is key. Mm-hmm. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code DOOMME, DEWME. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com when you use code DOOMME, DEWME.
Give them the gift of Manscaped this holiday season.
Bada boom.
Mm-hmm.
Bing bong. So do we want to go in now?
Yeah. Okay. Let's go in.
Let's go in. So
awesome.
Do you encourage going in from like the pussy hug, or are there better positions to start fingering, to start the finger?
Well, I mean, a lot of times the pussy hug is kind of evolves from just like how often people naturally fall into sex. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's usually like one person's on their back. One person is kind of like slightly on top and your hands are going down pants. And then that's kind of where the pussy hug comes from, because you're kind of reaching down. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not necessarily how all sex begins, but this is just kind of like, just tends to be the case. You're making out in the car, you're making out in the bed. Like this is often where it comes from. So yeah, you can certainly pussy hug from other positions. You can go bottom up, all the things. Mm-hmm. I mean, and one of the challenges with hand sex can sometimes be just actual like body stuff, right? Mm-hmm. This is a very common thing. If you like hand sex is like, and this is kind of hard to demonstrate while sitting down, but like your wrist can get kind of weird, right? Mm-hmm. If you've ever had that kind of like, like, and it kind of can feel a little uncomfortable. So one thing I like to say is like, basically when you're exploring, if you're like kissing at the same time, like you can use your fingers on the outside, but if you're going to like move transition to like hardcore fucking, like you're really going to like get in there. It's a good idea to lower your body a little bit, again, depending on the length of your arms, et cetera, to make that your wrist more in a straight line. So it's not jacked in a weird way, because that just gives you more power and then more like consistency. You can stay, you won't tire out your muscles quite as quickly. So I like to kind of just tell people to drop their shoulder a little bit. And again, if you're roughly the same size, sometimes that means like you might lower yourself to their breasts or their chest area, that it allows you to kind of just adjust your arm to be able to kind of reach deeper inside if that's something that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because sometimes the cup around too, that's when it can get a little pinchy. Because if you're like, say your pants are still on or something, or you're like doing it in the car, that's where it's like, okay, ow, ow, ow. Yeah. You know, yeah. Those are my labia. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, that also might be a lubrication thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes like if our own natural lubrication, if we have it at all, can get kind of stuck inside. It won't necessarily like drip out. And this, again, is everybody's different, but like, depending on how much pubic hair you have, depending on how big your lips are, sometimes like you can be really wet, but you can't really feel the wetness until you're actually already inside. So sometimes that pinchiness is actually drag, right? Mm. It's like friction. Mm-hmm. So that's just something to think about, like if you're okay with, you know, spit as lube, you can like, you know, spit on your finger or put them in their mouth and be all sexy about that before you go inside. And also, like, I think that if you're, again, kind of on the approach to inside, like, feel around, like, open their lips a little bit and feel for the moisture and, like, really, and that's where kind of ringing the vaginal opening can be really satisfying, because now you're, like, making sure everything's nice and slick before you go inside, which I think is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Follow the water. Yeah. So I know we've talked about with hand jobs, it's really good to use lube. So is it always, would you encourage using lube for fingering, or would you encourage like checking to see if your like vaginal opening has its own lubrication first?
I generally like to ask my partner what they want. Some people like really wet. Some people like friction. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, I think it's just good to normalize having lube around and talking right. about it and checking in. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, for instance, like, my partner and I have been together for 15 years now. My body just doesn't respond as it used to, right? Like, I'm so used to my partner's hormones. They just don't get me, like, super drenched like a new person might. That's just mm-hmm. biology. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'm like, let's just reach for the lube. And again, like, just like integrating toys, I mean, like, like people had to do in the 80s, integrating condoms. Like, people were really resistant to it at the beginning. And then they're like, well, this is actually necessary. So you had to learn how to integrate condom sexily into the play. And now it's, for most of us, it's a matter of course. Like, mm-hmm. here's the condom, put it on, no big deal. Right. I think that we can stand to normalize lubrication in the same way. Like, bring bottled stuff. You're going to go over to a partner's house for a hot sex date? Like, you're going to bring condoms and lube, you know, mm-hmm. just to ask. And I think this is also true because, like, sometimes your experience of what it feels like as the kind of the giver of sensation is very different from the receiver. Like, I might catch somebody and like, wow, they're like super wet. And they're like, oh, I need more lube. Right? I'm like, oh, that's great. Like, that's information that I wouldn't be able to get. And sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes I'm like, are you sure you don't want lube? And they're like, no, I feel great. So it's like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good idea in general, just kind of to normalize talking about and asking. And then also, you know, when you're doing your own exploration of your own body, figure out what it feels like to play with different kinds of lubes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we always love good lube talk, good mm-hmm. lube normalization.
And I'm also glad that you just talked about friction as well, because we've actually had a couple of people respond, because we did an episode just on lube and we've talked about it a number of times, but we've had people reach out and say, actually, I don't really like using lube because I really like the friction. So I'm really glad that you brought that up as well.
Yeah, I think a little friction could be nice.
Could be nice.
So if we're going in, if we're shoulders dropped and we're ready to get in there.
I thought you were going to say shoulder deep.
If we're not reaching inside like this. See, the amount of times I've thought of, you know, how when you have to reach, you're a farmer.
What are you saying?
You know,
like when you reach inside of a cow.
Oh.
The amount of times I've thought about that on this podcast is not healthy. So that's just what made me think
Well,
of
I just wish you would have kept it to yourself.
I do too.
You've been keeping it to yourself for what, a year now? You couldn't wait?
You know, when you're a farmer and you reach inside of a cow's ass, that's what I was thinking about just now. Any whoozle.
Wow, who's horny?
Now who wants to talk about sex? Let's go. Woo!
Anyways. So your shoulders dropped.
Your shoulders dropped and you're going in. Which fingers do you think you should start with?
It's really personal preference. I tend to start with my middle finger because it's the longest. I mean, yeah. And so like that, and that's usually kind of like, and like with the pussy, that kind of tends to be where I tend to position my hand, where kind of my middle finger will be kind of right at the bottom of the vaginal opening on the, like just above the taint. That's kind of how I do it. But that also can kind of create an awkward thing if you're only using one finger. It can be kind of uncomfortable. So sometimes the index finger is what people go for, and I think that's perfectly fine. Never met anyone who leads with the pinky, but, you know, I'm open to all experiences.
I'm hoping to hear that argument, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in most people, I mean, like, I always recommend, like, starting with one finger and then asking from if you want more. Again, it's very similar. Like, sometimes you feel like there's a lot of room in there, but the person receiving actually feels like it's very tight. So it's, and this is what I love about, you know, being a woman who has sex with people with vaginas, is that I'm like, it's amazing to me how my experience of my own body is so different from my experience of having sex with other people with vulvas. And I just think it's cool. But I also think it's like, wow, like I would think that you'd be able to take a whole fist, but you're like, no, it's too much. Or vice versa, right? Where you're like, too much. I'm like, really? You want me to add how many more fingers? Are you sure? And they're like, yeah. So that's another thing. So I like to say, like, do you want more? Because like the experience of penetration is one thing, and then the experience of girth is another. And sometimes, and this is also a thing that I like to encourage cis men to think about, is like size kind of, I mean, the size matter thing. Oftentimes when we're talking about size mattering, we're talking about girth, the feeling of fullness, not the feeling of having my cervix rammed, right? So like length isn't necessarily as important as girth is when it comes to feeling full. And this is another reason why I like to encourage cis men to get good at their hands, is because like if your penis isn't the shape that your partner likes to feel really full, then you can add fingers and you can basically kind of switch it up between your penis and hand sex to create that sensation of girth that they might be looking for. But yeah, so I'd say like, you know, start with one. Most people generally like to stick with two. I feel like a pretty safe place to be. But again, always ask. And then again, like, you know, I encourage people to also tell me, like, if you want more, just tell me. And this is something that I think people, it's just always good to get better communication with asking for what you want. Some people clam up, but like saying like, can you put another finger inside me is one, hot, and two, makes me feel like you're actively engaged in your experience of pleasure, which makes me feel a lot safer as a person who is penetrating someone.
That makes sense. So once you are in there, regardless of how many fingers it is, what are some things that you can do? Like, are you going in and out? Are you staying in and like swishing?
Yeah. So this is something that I think is kind of a problem with mainstream porn, is that like cunnilingus, fingering doesn't necessarily look like much, because what tends to feel good to the inside of a vagina isn't a lot of fast in and out. It tends to be more about like exploring the inner landscape of the vagina, right? Exploring the different parts of the body that respond well to touch. The G-spot is one of them, but there's a spot just above the G-spot that can feel really good as well. People like feeling, if you like going deep, if they like deep sensations, sometimes kind of ringing around the cervix, there's a lot of yummy tissue up there. So it's a lot more about thinking about, again, creating pressure on the inside of the body. So not so much the fast in and out. There's a time and place for that too. But I think one of the misconceptions a lot of new fingerers have is that they have to start really just jackrabbiting, which is not, that's something that's very porny. It looks good, but it doesn't actually feel pretty good to many, many people. So yeah, thinking about that, I mean, one of my favorite times I had with in sex with a new lover was they kind of just started, they were like kind of just exploring, like they put two fingers in there, like they kind of twist, put their hands so that their fingers were facing my spine, and they were kind of stroking my vaginal wall towards my spine. I'm like, well, that's interesting, how does that feel to you? And then they turned, so they were kind of stroking one of the sides, and they really started just kind of again getting a map of how pleasure moved through me. G-spot stimulation, you know, it's a very common thing that you hear a lot about in workshops and stuff. And that's basically, it's kind of nice because the G-spot is a little bit of a landmark on the inside of the body. Most of us, it feels distinctly different from the rest of the inside of the vagina. So for people who like G-spot stimulation, you can kind of like find it, right? And G-spot stimulation can feel great. It can feel great on some days. It can not feel great on others. It basically can create a sensation of feeling like you need to pee. So some people find that sexy. Some people find that really nerve-wracking, especially if you're with a new person. So that's something, again, like I encourage people to explore for themselves if they have a G-spot. But then also, like, when you're with somebody new, like, check in, like, how does that feel? Like, do you like this sensation? Just getting clear so that they can kind of, oftentimes we don't know what's happening inside our body. You'll be like, what are you doing? That's so interesting. So if you, you know, ask, like, do, like, you can kind of talk about it and then learn new things about your body or your lover's body.
Mm-hmm. For someone who is just, like, hasn't ever fingered a vulva before, what can they expect to feel when you go inside? Like, what is that going to be like? Because I can only go as far as I can go, you know, if you're doing the grab and you're reaching inside. So I feel like I know maybe an inch and a half of what the inside of a vulva would or a vagina would feel like.
You haven't mapped very far.
I haven't mapped very far. I can't reach very far. Yeah. So what can someone expect? And like you said, the G-spot's a landmark. So what is all that feeling like for them?
Sure. Well, I mean, the first thing, this is making me think back of the first time I ever had sex with a woman. And I'm like, oh, hello.
Hello.
Allison. I mean, I think for me, this, the most interesting thing was how hot it is inside, like physically hot, and how often wet it is. Like, I mean, the whole like warm apple pie thing, like it's a dumb joke from a dumb movie, but it's also kind of true. So that's interesting. But yeah, so I mean, there are landmarks that you can feel, and then there are kind of landmarks that only the receiver can feel. So the G-spot is a really interesting one because the texture of the inside of the vagina is very slick and very smooth. There's not a whole lot of texture in there. But the G-spot is very different. And the way I always describe it is you can take your tongue, keep it in your mouth, but run it up from the back of behind your front teeth up to the roof of your mouth. And you feel the texture of the roof of your mouth change. You feel those kind of ridges, like basically right before you get to your hard palate. And it's almost like brain coral. I don't know if that's a thing that like, but it's an interesting texture that's very ridgy. Mm-hmm. And that's when the G-spot is very aroused. Basically when you're really feeling turned on, the G-spot is what swells with fluid. And then kind of it dips into the vaginal open, the vagina itself. And so it's, and again, like the size and it feels a little, it's kind of like the size of like a Nerf ping pong ball, you know, like it's small, but like present. Now granted, again, everybody's different. And so sometimes you won't feel that at all. Sometimes it'll take a really long time to feel that. It really just depends on how your body's put together, but generally it's like the more like turned on like fuck energy, the more likely you are to feel it. So that's an interesting landmark, and because it is round and kind of like you'll feel like only part of the sphere of what it is, it kind of dips into the vagina, and you can circle it with your fingers. You can kind of feel the spatial experience of it, which I think is really interesting. And then that's why like some people like to have like direct pressure, like kind of right on it. Some people like the come hither thing, which is like where you kind of hook your fingers behind the G-spot and kind of tug it towards the outside of the body. Some people kind of like you to kind of circumvent it a little bit with fingers. Like there's a lot of different things you can do, which is why, again, hand sex is great because you can't do those things with penises or dildos. Mm-hmm. So yeah, interesting.
I feel like you've talked about it a little bit, but I had more questions the more you were talking about positions. What are some of your favorite or top positions for fingering? Yeah, you said drop your shoulder, but maybe full body positions. Mm-hmm. Where do we position those?
Yeah. Gosh, so much. I mean, there's so many different ways of doing it. Like I certainly think that like kind of like almost quasi-missionary, right? Like the receiver's on their back, the top is kind of in front. For kind of when, if hand fucking gets, you know, very highly energetic, I often like to, as a top, get on my knees and kind of like pull my entire body such that I'm kneeling next to their pelvis. And this, you know, creates a little bit of a distance. So if you're really into the kissing and the loving, like that can sometimes you want to pull them a little closer. But I like it because it gives me a lot more purchase, a lot more strength. And then I can also see what's going on. So like if they want me to stimulate their clitoris at the same time, for instance, like now I can either use my other hand or I can use my hand with a toy. I can use the thumb on the penetrative hand. But it's helpful to sometimes see that. So I like to kind of get on my knees. And this is, again, really common. If you are getting into a place where they are just like, fuck me, you're great. And this is where it's like, it's nice to have the like, to be able to really use
your shoulder into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've definitely had people kind of ride my hand while I'm on their back and like my back and they're on top of me, like the cowgirl position. That can feel really fun. It's in that case, you could just, I think it's just great to kind of hold your fingers, you know, stable and let them just, you know, bounce around and have grand old time on top of you. That I think in that case, it's important to really stabilize your arm, your hand, arm and wrist with your own body. So basically like have it kind of be like, basically put it on top of your own pelvis so that they can bounce that way, which I think is really good. I mean, doggy style is fun. That one's just, I don't know. I mean, that's lovely. You have a lot of room if they like being spanked. That's great. And that's a nice one because oftentimes with doggy style, if you're fucking them, you can kind of reach out and play with their clit a little bit and then come back in. I think that's just nice. So yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways to do it.
If you're doggy style, does that mean that your fingers are rotated differently than they would be if the receiver was in missionary? So like, would your knuckles then be towards the front of?
Yeah, often. Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, again, depending on how, like, so when a person is kneeling in front of you, they might be taller still than you. So it might be a little awkward. But in my experience, often doggy style can be nice because then you can hit the G spot by going down. Mm-hmm. So like your fingers, you're kind of rotating. So you're fingering this way. Mm-hmm. That can be a really nice sensation. It can also be good for, if you have wrist challenges or whatnot, to kind of just try it that way. And then again, like you have gravity. So like maybe that's like, that helps you a little bit too. But yeah, I think that can be a lovely position as well. And yeah, that being able to play with different rotations of your hand is a great idea. And I think that can create lots of different yummy sensations.
Mm-hmm. Would you encourage trying that slowly? Like if you want to play with like rotating and like moving your hands all around, like doing that slowly for the receiver?
I think all of these transitions or what we think of transitions can actually be the moves themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So like if they're on their knees and you're fingering them this way, like as you rotate your fingers, that's going to create sensations.
Right.
And that by itself, just rotating like this inside somebody can feel amazing. I had a lover once who, she had crossed her fingers like this and was doing this.
Whoa.
Inside me. And so that top knuckle like just was creating this amazing sensation really all the way around the inside of my vagina. I thought it was so cool. And then she kind of started kind of corkscrewing in and out. And it was it just really felt neat because it was like, it was just hitting me in all sorts of different ways that I've never felt before. And I'm like, that's freaking cool.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things, like I was saying, like as a receiver, you don't always know what's happening. I remember being like, what the hell are you doing?
How many fingers do you have down there?
Yeah, it's just neat. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's super cool. I love when people get a little crafty.
Mm-hmm. So creative.
So creative. Yeah. And speaking of getting a little creative, if you wanted to like boost up the sassiness, adding in oral, is that hard? I really like fingering and oral. And I never know if I'm asking a lot of the person I'm having sex with or if that's an easier task than like than they make it seem.
That's a great question. I think sometimes the big challenge can be keeping different rhythms. Right. Mm-hmm. Like if you're licking a clit in a specific rhythm and then fucking them in a different rhythm, you know, that's a musical problem. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that can be a challenge. But again, like I think for me, like I'm one of those people who I'm like, you want this? Like, all right, like let's get to work. Like you're letting me inside your vagina. Like this is a good problem to have. Right. So I like to think like, okay, let's figure out how to do this. One thing is like, I actually think that sometimes it can be it can be kind of nice because I'm imagining like they're on their backs. I'm between their legs, licking their clit. And then basically your hand is at your chin, right? Because vulvas are not very large. And so there's not a whole lot of room in there. But like this actually, like this isn't very hard to do or like kind of do this while I'm licking. Like it doesn't really change a whole lot. And sometimes it's enough to just feel kind of like, it's just feeling full. Mm-hmm. You might not have to do a bunch with your fingers inside while you're playing with their clit. Sometimes they just want to be able to, you know, squeeze and bear down on a thing. Mm-hmm. So it can be something where you can combine this and it won't be super stressful. But I mean, if you like, let's just see if we can like get the feedback going with the clit and then get the G spot going. Like, I think that can be really fun. And sometimes actually that overwhelm of sensation can actually be really exciting for the receiver. Like just feeling like just a flood with all sorts of things going on. Mm-hmm. So I think that can be fun to play around with.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, one of the like best times I feel like getting fingered and getting eaten out at the same time is when, how you were saying, I don't know what the fuck is going on, but it is great. You're doing a lot and it's fantastic.
You're doing a great job.
Whatever it is,
keep going. Soldier on.
Yep.
Oh my God. Last question from me. So I'm not sure how I'm going to phrase it or if I'm going to phrase it correctly because I don't totally remember the term, but I was reading about fingering for people who have a penis and testicles. I believe it was called muffing. Does that sound correct? Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. That is a very different technique, but I think it's a really interesting one. Mm-hmm. I first learned about muffing in a zine called Fucking Trans Women, written by Mira Bellwether, where she talks about it at length, and it's really interesting. It's basically digitally penetrating a person's inguinal canal. And the inguinal canal in a person who's born with testes is basically this kind of a cavity inside the body where the testes and the tubes kind of come out of when you're in utero. Basically, as a penis owner develops in utero, the testes descend through those inguinal canals and then the tubes are still kind of up through there. So everybody has two of them. On people with born with vulvas, they tend to be much smaller, kind of not, because we don't have all the tubes that mm-hmm. testes owners have. So basically it's kind of, in order to do it, and again, I talk about it in Girl Sex 101. I have a whole page devoted to it because I think it's a really interesting technique. I've never done it myself to somebody who really, I've done it to people who wanted it, but like, it's not somebody to whom that is their sex life. I did it to a cis man once out of kind of like, can we try this? And mm-hmm. he's not particularly fond of the technique, but it's a very intense sensation. Mm-hmm. But for people who just want to feel penetrated, particularly if they don't like anal and they don't have a vagina, like this can be a fun technique to try. But basically and this is again where it's like really important to like listen with your fingers, listen with your hands. You follow the testes and you follow the tubes up into the body, and you'll feel basically kind of this opening. And it's really, just kind of, because the skin of the scrotum is so stretchy, you can kind of, kind of invert that skin and you kind of push inside up into the inguinal canal. And that can have a lot of nerve endings right around that opening, kind of like the opening to the vagina. And so sometimes it's just kind of like gently moving around, but for people who like it, particularly for trans women who like the feeling of being penetrated, like this can feel like a really affirming, sexy way because it's very similar to deep vaginal penetration without having a vagina. Mm-hmm. But I think it's an interesting technique. I definitely recommend exploring it if that sounds like something fun. That zine is great. And then also I've seen some porn that shows it. Toby Hillmeyer is a porn performer and she has a movie with her film company called Hand Basket Productions, where there is a muffing scene. So you can kind of see what it looks like, which I think is probably a good place to start. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Definitely a good place to start would just be to see it first.
Yeah.
For me, for this gal, at least.
You don't want to just try to if you don't know all the parts I'm talking about. So yeah, it's a little bit of a, wrapping your head around it.
Yeah, no poking. Yeah. No poking in that situation. Probably, no pinching, twisting, and poking.
Speed ahead. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I loved exploring fingering a little bit more. This has been fun.
Oh my God, yes. Where can our listeners continue to connect with you after the episode?
Sure. So you can find my books at girlsex101.com. I'm on Twitter at Hey Allie Moon. That's HEYALLIEMOON. And I'm on Instagram at Allison_Moon. I don't tend to post very much about sex. It's mostly just pictures of my dog. But if you're into that kind of thing, you can find me on Instagram there.
And we're out.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there was a sound for spirit fingers.
Let's see what this one is.
Wait. Nope. Nope. Try again. No, that's not spirit fingers. No. There it is.
There fingers. Spirit fingers. Sorry about
spirit
that.
Spirit fingers in your vaginas.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say?
All of them.
All of them. Start with 10, like we said. Yeah. You start with 10.
And squeeze balls as hard as you can and twist them.
Squeeze and twist, people.
If there's anything you got from this episode, it should be those two things.
Yes. So thank you to Allison for being on the podcast today. And thank you to our oh-so-loyal listeners for sticking around.
Yep.
We really buy our merch. Also, if you're loyal, buy our merch. Fuck, the link is in our bio on Instagram.
Yeah, and I'll also put the link in the bio. Link in the show notes is what I meant. Yeah. The link is in the show notes. Buy it because it's cute, and you're cute, and it'll look cute on you, and it'll make you even cuter. So if you want to do something else for us, head on over to Apple Podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe to Honey Do Me Podcast. And if this is going to be the episode that gets you to leave a written review, go ahead and leave fingers.
Whatever finger emoji
you want to be fingered with.
Yeah, that you prefer in your vagina or your butt or that you like to use.
Or on the vulva.
Yeah.
Yes.
The vulva.
The vulva. All right. Okay. And we're out.
And we're out. We'll see you next week. That was an aggressive one.
3, 2, 1 Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.